You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hello, everyone. It's Varian, and welcome to Open Mic. If you're unfamiliar with my hour on the radio, Open Mic's just where for the next hour I'll be rambling and playing you guys some music and kind of talking about what's important to me. But on the outset of our programming today, I'd like to acknowledge that CJSF broadcasts atop Burnaby Mountain on the unceded ancestral territories. On the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwilum, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. It's been a while, guys. Finally finished school, and it was kind of a hectic end of term, but, you know, we got through it in the end. And now, funny enough, school's actually back on again, so I'm back at school. And now there's, like, a little bit more time for me to do some radio, and, you know, I'm pretty excited about that. This week's all kind of about, like, you know, appreciate, like, listener appreciation this week, and, you know, I think I'd like to, like, weigh in a little bit that, because, like, I think over my, you know, I'm kind of looking to graduate pretty soon. I'm kind of within my last, like, whatever, like, seven classes of my undergrad. And I think, like, CJSF's been something that's, like, pretty involved and pretty relevant to, like, my time at SFU. Definitely, like, felt super isolated when I, like, came to this school. I think by nature of it being a bit of a commuter school at sometimes, you know, like it's Burnaby Mountain can be like a little bit out of the way. It's no like sometimes it's like a little inconvenient in the sense that it's like no real village, like not like, you know, the UBC endowment land is, although that's a whole different story about like them being able to develop on all that land and whatnot. And, but, you know, I think when I came here, this was sort of like the first thing that I joined was CGSF, you know. It was like none of the other clubs really looked that interesting to me. I'm not like trying to, you know, I'm sure the clubs here are great, you know. It's probably more of a me thing of not doing my due diligence at SFU to go check out all the clubs, but nonetheless, like this is the one that like out of the clubs fair booths that like was the most appealing to me. I've always kind of wanted to kind of work in this radio station, you know, and it seems cool to broadcast, you know, and thankfully, like, I had this space. I think it was very important to me throughout my undergrad to have this space as, like, a means to, like, you know, look through records and play my music and, you know, have my voice heard. I think I was very attracted to this whole idea of community radio in the first place, specifically in regards to it being my show. And, you know, I think CJSF and other community radios are vehemently about, or sorry, they very much encourage that, you know, it's the voice of the programmer, you know, and, you know, we don't run ads and, you know, nobody, you know, we're not in the pocket of somebody, you know, we're not, you know, we're not forced to say anything by means of somebody or a main stakeholder or something. There's a real emphasis on, you know, my voice being heard and what I have to say. And so, you know, I'd like to take the time to acknowledge that, like, a lot of that has to do with you guys and all the listeners that, you know, allow me to have this platform and allow me to have the space to, you know, ramble on and talk about things and trying to be funny and crack jokes and share, like, emo music like I normally do. And, you know, I'm super grateful for that, you know? I mean, I've also, like, told a lot of my friends about my program and, like, through bars that I've worked at even too, and I've had like a lot of very, very good and faithful listeners and made some good friends who have like listened to my programming, you know, and I think that means a lot to me. And it's always funny because there's a bit of a disconnect from like doing this live a little bit. Well, yes and no. I think like I could see myself doing a similar show as a podcast, but it's like not quite the same, you know. Like, obviously, it's hard for me to sort of, you know, it's hard for me to discern whether or not people are listening, you know, but I think that, like, I've gotten some feedback, and, you know, I've heard people talk to me about my show, and, you know, it feels good to know that people are listening to me, you know, versus, like, you know, getting clicks and plays on a, you know, on an Apple podcast or something, this just feels more organic to me. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to hear this a lot from other programmers, but, you know, we're all super thankful for all the listeners that come and take the time and, you know, care about our programming and, you know, care about the personality of the hosts of these shows. And so really want to thank you all guys all for that. Anyways, for this week, I've got a bit of a plan, because I had a little more time today. I had like a three hour break between my class today. I'm only taking one class. It's kind of dope. It's about geographies of wine. I'll tell you guys all about it another day once I know a little bit about it. But, what's big in the news right now is this whole Kendrick Lamar, Drake beef, you know. I think everybody everywhere is super, you know, overstimulated by this. But regardless, I think I'd like to weigh in and give my little chronology of this because, you know, I've been covering this over the past couple of weeks. I've been talking about, you know, the happenings and stuff. And it's kind of like really lit, reignited, so to say, my passion for hip-hop. I think I was a big hip-hop fan in high school, and I think it really got stagnant for a while, you know? I think, you know, after a certain point, it kind of got stale. I was kind of bored of the whole trap music stuff, and, you know, like, even so, like, I mean, you know, Kendrick Lamar is not an artist necessarily of that time, of that Atlanta rap grouping, necessarily, you know? But still, like, I was not the biggest hip-hop fan, and I think this beef, all things considered, has been very, very good for hip-hop. And for those that love hip-hop, I think there's a greater discussion to be talking about how, you know, I think this will bring back the sort of those who are, you know, listeners of the culture, of the hip-hop culture, to bring it back. So I've got a little bit planned for you guys, you know, and I'm going to do a big chronology. I'm going to do a big chronology for you guys of the Kendrick Lamar beef, but I'm gonna set up my little stuff first. I'm gonna play you guys a quick track, and when we come back, I'll come back with this little bit I've got planned for you guys. So here we go, my first track of the day, a song by Land of Talk. Here's Your beautiful Self on CGSF 90.1 FM.
If I believed I could just say Sorry to interrupt. I know you're busy enjoying one of your favorite shows on CJSF, but it's your Sister C, your own Sister C, host of the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon Saluwa show on Friday mornings every week at 10 o'clock. So I'm here with a very, 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 very full voice. Thank you for listening to CJSF.
Breaking news. Welcome to my 2024 rap beef whatever news section. I'm your host, Varian, at CGSF 90.1. And I know you guys are all probably inundated with like all the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef, but I think it's right for me to give it context to where and how we got here a little bit. I, super unqualified to give this, have been a teenager on my cell phone all my life, obsessed with this whole beef, and who was like listening to rap music in the time. So, you know, I mean, you know, you could hear it from me, you could hear it from your friend, you know, why not hear it from me, you know? I feel like I gotta dial it back here. So how did we get here? You know, everybody kind of knows what's going on, you know? Kendrick Lamar is dissing Drake, Drake's firing back. It's this whole thing where they're all super Zoomer, like this whole, it's rapid fire dissing, but maybe we should bring it back a little bit to how we got here. And I kind of do remember how we got here, and it starts in, you know, I'm going to give a bit of context. Some of it might be long-winded, you know, but I'm going to give it a context, and maybe that'll help kind of paint the picture of how we got here. I think it starts in 2013, okay? Very famously, Kendrick Lamar and A$AP Rocky go on a big world tour with Drake. Drake brings them out. These are new up-and-coming artists, you know? Like, this is their first big, you know, world tour, essentially. So they go on their tour. Subsequently, Kendrick Lamar does a feature on a Big Sean track called Control. I can't play a lot of these songs, mostly because they're kind of expletive, but also because, like, they're kind of charting songs, and, you know, you guys can go look them up at home. We got the first song is Control, and in this song, Kendrick is taking his time to, like, you know, he's kind of coming up in the game a little bit, but nonetheless, he knows that he's a talented rapper. He knows that he's like aimed at big success, you know, and he kind of playfully takes jabs at all contemporary rappers. He calls them all out by name, you know, and he says, I got love for all of you, but I'm trying to murder all of you. Make sure that your core friends have never heard of you. And, you know, as far as disses go, this is not really much of a diss, but it definitely, you know, definitely created some waves in the rap game. I do remember this. Everyone who got called out was, you know, a little bit peeved. But the way that Kendrick Lamar spun it was that, like, you know, if your name was on the list, it means he's sort of posting you up as, like, you know, a worthy adversary in the rap game, okay? You know, this is sort of an ode to Kendrick Lamar's long-standing, you know, Kendrick likes to really, like, stoke the flame of the rap game. Really likes to rile people up and get the passion of it. I think this is very necessary for the nature of hip-hop, you know? It can get really stagnant, you know? And hip-hop's never really been about just making hits, you know? It's about, you know, the love of the game, and I think that's the ethos that Kendrick is trying to channel here, okay? Fast forward a little bit further in 2013 as well, we've got the TDE cipher. Now, TDE stands for Top Dog Entertainment, and this is the label that Kendrick Lamar was signed to and had been for a very long time. It's the, you know, it's the label that he'd been repping for so long, and this label includes Schoolboy Q, you might know of, Absol, obviously Kendrick, and a few other names. I think SZA used to be on TDE for a little bit as well. She might still be on TDE if I recall correctly. Anyways, this is the start of him sort of taking a subtle jab at Drake. You know, this is the start of their sort of a little bit of a kerfuffle, you know, and he says, he's taking a bit of a victory lap on this cipher, and he's saying that nothing's been the same since they dropped Control. He's tucked sensitive rappers back in their pajama clothes. So let's break this down a little bit. Nothing was the same as the name of Drake's album, and, you know, famously the album that Kendrick went on tour for. And I think he's like referencing how this Control verse, and it did, really stirred up drama within the greater rap consciousness, okay? So now a little bit more background of where Drake's been at. And so we're going to go over kind of briefly touching a bit about, like, Drake's, you know, Drake's sort of his take on drama and where he's been sort of this, you know. So very famously, 2015, Drake and Meek Mill, another rapper, collaborated on a song called Rico. And famously, Meek Mill called out Drake for having allegedly had his verse on Rico, so the song on Meek Mill's album, ghostwritten by somebody. supposedly this I guess you can call him like a producer slash like what do you call it, like, you know, he did some writing, he does some writing within like music, this guy named Quentin Miller. Supposedly he produced and helped, I guess he wrote, you know, I would say he helped produce, If You're Reading This Too Late, Drake's like 2015, 2016, or maybe 20, I can't remember exactly the dates, but helped produce on this album. And he claims that, he was hired and paid under the table, received a publishing check from Drake's camp. So this is him coming out and talking about, you know, recalling about how it was a tricky situation of being locked in a contract, but not quite being able to make ends meet, stating that he had to feed his family off getting paid under the table, and in that situation because another producer would not let him go and leave his contract. So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, shrouded in a bit of mystery, I would say. But you know, the insinuation here is that, you know, Drake's keeping the fact that he's got a ghostwriter on payroll on the low and he doesn't get, you know, publishing rights, you know, when the album comes out, evidently not to give away that he may or may not be ghostwriting. So Meek Mill famously calls him out on diss track for this, and, you know, Drake kind of spits back, you know, and honestly, regardless of whatever, you know, I think Meek Mill was kind of right, in the sense of, well, I mean, Drake probably was probably getting his songs, you know, ghostwritten. But at the same time, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt in that, well, who isn't in the greater music industry not getting their songs kind of ghostwritten, you know? But, you know, regardless, I think that Drake kind of emphatically won that beef. There's a lot that goes into a diss track and to what considers it a W, I think, you know, a win for those less acquainted. And I think that, you know, on top of your lyrical content and what you're saying, I think that it's, you know, ultimately it's a song, and whatever kind of hits the hardest, whatever bangs the hardest, you know, is kind of what goes, you know. And Drake drops like Back to Back, which is like, I remember being like a high school classic, man. I remember even my roommate at the time, my roommate right now, I went to high school with him. I remember him playing Back to Back in class after winning like the oratorical like 2 years in a row or something like that, you know, really funny, like 2015, 2016 stuff, like real corny, you know. But in the end, Drake kind of wins that beef just because, you know, he kind of like out-rapped Meek Mill a little bit. And then subsequently, Meek Mill goes to jail in 2017 for violating his parole, famously for popping a wheelie in a music video. And then upon his release from jail, Drake and Meek squash the beef. But, you know, it's kind of known within the collective consciousness that, you know, Drake, a little bit of a sketchy guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's getting his tracks, you know, ghostwritten, all right? Okay, so fast forward a little bit. It's the year's 2018, and this next part is about Pusha T and Young Money, which is Lil Wayne's record label. And so, historically, you know, Pusha T, and I guess at large, like Clips and Pharrell, who produced a lot for Pusha T in that kind of camp, have been in this long-standing feud with, like, Lil Wayne and, like, Birdman and that whole collective of Young Money rappers. And I won't get into the details of the beef because it's kind of really silly. I'm pretty sure it was about like so-and-so biting so-and-so. It's like a real he said, she said, biting each other's style and like wearing certain clothes. I don't really get it, you know. I was not really, this is before 2018, their beef. This is like probably in the early 2000s, you know. But ostensibly, Drake inherits this beef, being that, you know, he's a frequent collaborator with Lil Wayne. At the time, I'm not sure if he was signed to Young Money Records, but, you know, because of this, Pusha T and Drake go back and back for many years, you know, dropping subliminals here and there, you know, kind of dissing each other here and whatnot, you know? And so in 2018, Pusha T drops Daytona, which was within Kanye West's Good Music Fridays era, or not Good Music Fridays, but there was an era where he was producing records for all the people on his label, and they're all short 21-minute records. I distinctly remember this, because this is the same era that Kids See Ghosts came out, where Kanye West is producing all these real short albums for everyone, Pusha T included. So Pusha T drops Daytona with a song called Infrared, and Pusha T's been kind of shooting shots at Drake for years, and they've been kind of shooting subliminals at each other for so long, but, you know, it's kind of been, you know, I think Drake, for the most part, being the bigger artist in a way, has kind of mostly ignored it up to this point. And he says, lyrics penning equal to Trump's winning. The bigger question is how the Russians did it. It was written by Nas, but it came from Quentin. This is obviously talking about Quentin Miller, who allegedly has come out as Drake's ghostwriter. And so, you know, all these shots from Pusha T are nothing out of the normal. But this was all kind of a big bait to elicit a reaction out of Drake. And so for the first time, Drake kind of, you know, takes up this beef, and, you know, it's a real war now, you know, and he shoots back with a song called Duppy Freestyle, which, in my opinion, which may or may not be a little biased, was kind of a big whatever. But, you know, Drake really, like, paraded that like a victory lap for a little bit, like maybe a couple of days. I like distinctly remember him sending like an invoice to Good Music talking about how, like, this freestyle and sort of it being directed at Pusha T is, like, so good for his career, like Pusha T's career, and he's like, you owe me a marketing check, you know? Okay. But then Pusha T responds with the story of Adidon, and it's a bomb. He drops a bomb on Drake, I'm trying to say. Drake gets cooked here. He really does. And the world discovers that Drake has been hiding a son this whole time. The lyrics go, since you name-dropped my fiancé, this is Pusha T's song, since you've name-dropped my fiancé, let them know who you chose as your Beyoncé. Sophie knows better as your baby mother. Cleaned up her IG, but the stench is still on her. A baby's involved. It's deeper than rap. We talking character, let me keep with the facts. You were hiding a child. Let that boy come home. Deadbeat MF playing border control. Playing Border Patrol. So this is a big revelation to, you know, greater pop culture media, I think. You know, the world discovers that Drake has a son, and he's been hiding it from it. And so Drake kind of concedes this beef. You think he goes on a radio show and says, you know, yeah, I got cooked, you know? And, you know, this kind of, you know, it's Drake kind of is now publicly claiming his son, you know, Adonis, who's his son, who he's had with this woman named Sophie. I don't really know much about her, but I think, you know, they've had some relation in the past, and, you know, I think he was trying to keep it under wraps. I think if you're from the Drake camp, you're probably saying that, you know, Drake was doing this purposefully to sort of keep maybe his son out of the fame, you know, but I think there's a bit of a, you know, a sketchiness to it, because, you know, I think Drake's a little bit sketchy at times, and the way this has sort of come out has felt a little bit like an under-wrap situation. Nevertheless, from then on, Adonis enters the limelight as Drake's son. He's claimed as Drake's son. He takes on his last name, appears on Drake's Instagram and music videos, etc., etc. Okay, so the last little bit of context, I'm gonna give you a last little bit of context, and then we're gonna take a break, and then I'm gonna get into sort of the more contemporary, what's going on right now. This is the sort of start of the current day beef, and everything I just talked about is sort of relevant to what's going on now, right? So March 26th, Metro Boomin, who is a big, if you're unfamiliar, he's kind of like produced like all of your favorite, like, you know, trap rap songs in the last, like, actually potentially in the last decade, to be honest. You know, big figurehead in like Atlanta rap music, big figurehead in Atlanta producing, kind of the gold star